whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. It is Friday, and we got a great weekend ahead of us for all the sports fans, of course. Wild Card Weekend begins tomorrow with the Chargers and the Texans. You'll get the Ravens and Steelers on Amazon Prime. You get Bills and Broncos Sunday morning. Eagles, Packers, and then nightcap is Commanders, Bucks, which I think is juicy down in Tampa Bay. And then, of course, you get a Monday Night Football, which has been moved from L.A., due to obvious reasons, and our condolences go out to everybody affected by the fires down in L.A., as nearly 180,000 people have had to evacuate their homes down in L.A. Our condolences go out to them. The Rams and Vikings will now move to Glendale, Arizona, and play where the Cardinals play their home games down in the Phoenix area. But good morning to everybody out there. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate on the loan. Apply online and just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We'll revisit our playoff conversation in the 9 o'clock hour. Warriors, of course, beat the Pistons. We'll revisit that as they were shorthanded but still got the dub against a red-hot Pistons team. But I do want to focus in on last night in the college football playoff as Notre Dame survives against Penn State in the Orange Bowl. Really fun game. 10-3, Notre Dame was down at the half, and they come back. It's a likable team, a likable Notre Dame team, of course, led by Marcus Freeman, who I'm pulling for, of course, and James Franklin, who nobody likes around here, can come off as a little condescending at times. But they got some ballers on Penn State, and there's some elite talent on that football field yesterday. Today, in the Cotton Bowl, we're going to see a lot of ballers on that field between Texas and Ohio State.
Could be up to 25 guys.
I mean, and Jeremiah Smith can't even enter the draft. Caleb Downs can't even enter the damn NFL draft. And if Caleb Downs was entering the draft, I would do everything in my power to get a guy like him, but that's just me. But with the Niners with the number 11 pick, and we'll play some of the sound from Shanahan and Clay Kubiak on how he's going to be the offensive coordinator with the title, but Shanahan's still going to call the plays. When it comes to the NFL draft, Shasky, especially in the first round, because it's such a crapshoot. And I get everybody wants to draft for need. But what if that need nets you a player who's going to be average at best? When it comes to number 11 overall, and the Niners are in a spot where they can either trade down and get multiple picks, I'm all for best player available. Best player available. That's what the Raiders did last year with Brock Bowers. And I know they didn't win a lot of games, but
he's their best player on their team.
But would Raider fans go back and draft another player? No, you would take Brock Bowers.
He's a blue chip Pro Bowl level player year in, year out.
Best player available.
Watching that game last night. So Watts is the safety for Notre Dame.
Yep.
And then Morrison's the corner. Those two guys are elite. Watts is a guy that I think the Niners might sniff around. I think he's a day two, meaning like second, third round type of pick.
Right.
I feel like Morrison, they already have their corners solidified, but he's probably a first rounder. And then I look at Penn State, and I'm watching that team. And there's a lot of defensive linemen I would take late from Notre Dame that just eat space. But Abdul Carter, watching him, he's the edge rusher. He's wearing number 11. He looks like he's freaking Micah Parsons out there. He was bending around the corner, and he's clearly got an arm injury. He is a relentless butt kicker. God, I'd love to get him. I don't think he lasts till 11. He's a guy I think is probably the first non-quarterback taken off the board.
No doubt. No doubt. And then I couldn't help but look at Tyler Warren.
Well, I love him.
Every time I watch this guy play, that's George Kittle. This guy's nasty in the run game. Relentless pass catcher.
Breakaway speed.
Breakaway speed.
For a tight end.
They got a jet sweep or tight end screen blown up. I think they were trying to do a tight end pass or something. And it got blown up. And he still was able to gain 7 yards by stiff-arming somebody. And I'm with the 408 here. Imagine Shanahan with two tight end formations and two elite players. And everybody around here has been talking about a second tight end. We don't have a second tight end. So, yesterday on Twitter, not to bring it about me, but I'm bringing it up on Twitter saying, Look, man, Sterling Bennett came over the top trying to duck on me. It's all good, Sterling. If the Niners keep the 11th pick, I said I'm all for them selecting the best available player, which very well could be tight end Tyler Warren out of Penn State. Kittle and Warren on the same roster would be nasty. You have your heir apparent at the tight end position. You have a guy you can throw the ball to. You're on a double tight end set, especially if you're not going to invest in a wide receiver position and try to get another top end wide receiver, which why would you? You just gave Ayuk all that money. You're counting on him to come back. You have Ricky Pearsall. You have Juwan Jennings. With two tight ends and those three guys at wide receiver, Chris McCaffrey, I'm okay. I think I'm good. I'm playing physical football anyway, right? I'm running the football. And everybody's saying, well, you need an O-lineman. Well, the 49ers do have 10 draft picks. You don't have one draft pick. You have 10.
Yeah.
So if the value of an offensive lineman, if that offensive lineman who's on the board at the time, whoever it could be, and you say, okay, he's okay, because you did, we're just talking during the break about Mike McGlinchey. Does anybody want to get back? Does anybody want to go back in time and think about the Mike McGlinchey draft when Derwin James was sitting there on the board? And everybody, yeah, I'm a Florida State fan.
Yeah.
Derwin James didn't have the greatest season that year with Florida State, but he was also returning from a torn up knee. So we knew the rust was there.
Yeah.
The guy was a stud. He was the best available player. But the Niners went with Mike McGlinchey. And how did that work out?
Worked out horrible.
So,
and he was the best tackle available.
Right.
Because they had a hole because they traded away, remember?
Yep.
Trent Brown.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So, again, you look at the Javon Kinlaw draft. I wasn't mad at Kinlaw, the player. I thought he'd be a good player, but the premise of it was, wait, this doesn't make much sense. Where's the logic in trading Buckner for a first-round pick and then drafting his replacement and give him the same number? No, I don't want to do that. Best player available. Best player available.
Yeah.
Well, the best player available may have been CeeDee Lamb, may have been Tristan Wirfs. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But it wasn't Kinlaw. And how's that worked out for the 49ers?
It didn't work out well.
So I'm okay with taking Tyler Warren if he's the best player available.
Well, and the bigger issue for me the year that they took Mike McGlinchey, and again, as a Notre Dame fan, Quentin Nelson was the best player on that team. And he played alongside of Quentin Nelson. And I always thought Quentin Nelson, who is, you know, destined one day for probably Canton.
Right.
Like, I thought that he was the best player on the O-line, and he covered up a lot of McGlinchey's stiffness. That's just my personal belief.
Just go back and look at the game between Georgia and Notre Dame and South Bend, Indiana, when Georgia invaded South Bend, Indiana. And them big boys from the SEC, from down south, they kicked Mike McGlinchey's ass all game long. And I said, well, those are the guys who are going to be blocking the NFL.
Yeah.
And we saw how it worked out. But
it's interesting you bring up that draft because I pulled it up right here. McGlinchey goes nuts. This draft is actually a great draft. Baker, Saquon, Darnold, Denzel Ward, Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, Josh Allen, Roquan, McGlinchey, Josh Rosen.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
And Arizona, filling for need, took a quarterback and immediately moved on. Now let me give you the next couple. Minka, Vita Vea, Daron Payne, Marcus Davenport, Colton Miller, Tremaine Edwards, Derwin James, Jair Alexander.
Wow.
There's a lot of
there's a lot of really good players in that draft.
And there's more I can keep going, but
I get the point. You didn't take the best. Now, I get you, Zucci May. McGlinchey's in the playoffs. But do you think the Broncos are in the playoffs because of Mike McGlinchey?
He's not that.
Or is it because of Bo Nix and Cortland Sutton and that great defense?
Sean Payton.
Like, come on, Zucci. Come on, Zucci. So I get it. 707, you're all skipping over some positions more valuable. Right tackle's more valuable than tight end. I can subscribe to that. But you can get a right tackle in free agency. You can get a right tackle in the draft in the second or third round.
Looking at the snaps breakdown, so Matt Barros did an article that came out this morning around 5 a.m., and it broke down all of the snaps for everyone on the team. It was actually quite illuminating. Saubert had 400-plus snaps this year. Kittle had about 800, okay? So if you look at Juice, you think he had 5-something or 6-something, 600 snaps, 500 snaps.
Wow.
And Jordan Mason, even though only played, you know, whatever, the 9, 10, 11 games, had like 700 snaps. Point that I'm going at, if you take tight end 2, that guy's probably getting a chunk of what would be your fullback snaps and tight end two snaps.
Yep. He can play an H-back role.
You're going to squeeze the amount of snaps.
Right.
Your starting center had about 1,100 snaps.
Right.
So to everyone's point, you'd be surprised how much tight end two would be on the field in this offense.
Exactly.
I think we're underrating how important that would be.
I think people need to just take...
Kind of what you want it.
People need to just take it. I'm not saying that they should take Tyler Warren.
No, just be open-minded.
It's not the best need. Yeah. It's not their number one need. But being open-minded in that situation, at number 11 overall, and if the player like Jaylon Walker may not be there from Georgia, he may be, but his value may be 16, maybe 14, maybe you move down. Maybe you move down in the draft. And there are some people saying, well, he's not even the best tight end in the draft. It's Loveland from Michigan.
Okay.
Well, But what I see from this guy over the last 8 weeks, and he's their only wide receiver down. This guy got 21 passes against USC at the LA Memorial Coliseum that we all watched in 4K, and that was a great uniform game, too, with USC and the all-white Penn State uniforms. I'm a sucker for all-white uniforms. You see a theme here, right, Shasky? All-white coats, all-white Penn State. I love it. This guy's he's a physical. When he trucked the guy at the midfield logo yesterday from Notre Dame and like setting a physical tone, I was like, damn, that's George Kittle. And as 262 mentions on the text line, George Kittle getting up there in age.
Well, I think you need to
monitor
that.
And you can learn from George Kittle.
Yes,
this guy can learn from George Kittle.
He fits him.
Like Tyler Warren, and his name could be Joe Shasky. But the way he plays,
he's a Niner.
Fits the 49ers' brand of football.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
I really like the running back, too, Singleton.
He's tough.
I think Singleton's a stud, and I would take Singleton in the middle rounds. I told you, I still think the Niners need another running back.
Yep.
And he would be the kind of guy, because he's split carries at times in Penn State. He's the kind of running back that I'd love to see them take in the third round, fourth round, even though I know they've not been successful in those middle rounds with those running backs. I think he's a stud. I'd love to have him.
Yeah, Sterling Bennett tried to take, oh, man, that's a reach. No way in hell I'm taking a tight end at number 11 overall. Well, I heard the same thing about Vernon Davis, 6 overall, and Vernon Davis is probably the second best tight end in 49ers history.
Currently, I think he has did Kittle just pass him?
I think Kittle passed him.
No, for touchdowns.
For touchdowns. I don't know if he
Kittle's
passed.
Kittle's slightly below him.
Okay.
I think Vernon had 50-something. I could be wrong, and I think Kittle's in the 40s.
Yep. The Raiders, again, I look back at them. They didn't need tight end. They had just taken the guy from Notre Dame a couple years ago, Meyer.
The guy had 112 catches. I mean, jeez.
Brock Bowers broke the rookie record for most receptions in a season.
LaPorta's been an unbelievable player.
LaPorta's been unbelievable. The tight end position is unreal.
Well, and the best part about tight end is even when you go to extend them, they make half of what a wide receiver does.
No doubt. No,
and
that's
they can
a great
help
point.
You with multiple facets.
That's a great point. Now, there's a lot of tight ends in college, and I get it. Niners may not take him. And I wouldn't be disappointed if they didn't take him. But if he's the best player available and they decided to go that route, I would take him. So that's where I'm at when it comes to the NFL draft this season for the 49ers. Now, yes, they have a plethora of holes. I also think they're going to be fine. They've drafted well. There's a deep draft when it comes to old linemen, I believe. And no, I don't want to trade for Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts has been a massive disappointment.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I don't. He's not a Shanahan type of player. So that's all we're saying. But we're going to see studs tonight with Ohio State and Texas, and we'll see who's on the board here. But I think the Niners, basically my point is at number 11, I think the Niners are in a great spot.
I do too. And look, B, the beauty of where they're at, worst case scenario, you could trade down and get multiple picks.
Yes,
I think there's a lot of players that really fit. I'm watching these playoffs, these college football playoffs, and I'm like, dude, there's a ton of guys that I think can help the Niners. Like, even if you don't get Abdul Carter, there are two other linemen on Penn State that I would look at in the middle of the late rounds.
I would, too.
There are multiple safeties that I think the Niners should be targeting on both teams. And then tonight you're going to see with Texas. Texas has, and I know Ohio State, they've got a ton of players.
Yep.
And look, there's teams that have been eliminated that we haven't seen that also have players. But I just think there are a lot of defensive players that could really turn this defensive unit around in one offseason.
So I'm looking at the Pro Football Focus big board, right? Travis Hunter, number one. Abdul Carter, number two. McMillan from Arizona, number three, the big time wide receiver. 6'5", 212.
Yeah, he's a monster.
It's unbelievable.
I'm not going to lie. If we didn't have Ayuk and D, I would be banging the table.
You would have to convince me about him.
He's got Calvin written all over him.
You know, Mason Graham, Alshon Gentry.
Mason Graham's the inside D tackle.
Inside D tackle of Michigan. Gentry, we all know about Gentry from Boise State. Will Johnson, the corner at Michigan, who is 6'2", 202. He's a top prospect. Malachi Starks, safety from Georgia. Can't go wrong there. 6'1", 205. Will Campbell, he is a tackle out of LSU. 6'6", 323. Massive dude. Luther Burton from Missouri, a wide receiver, 5'11". I'm going to be cool off of that. I didn't see much of him. He may be good. Who knows? Nick Skirton, Texas A&M, edge rusher, 6'4", 285. So you get the point. There's a lot of prospects in this draft that the Niners can go in. Josh Simmons, Ohio State, 6'5", 3'10". We're going to watch him tonight at tackle.
Yeah.
John Lynch has been seen at Columbus, Ohio, watching him over and over and over again. So, again, the Niners, I think, is in a great spot. Now, when it comes to Scott, we're getting a question about Scadaboo. He'll be in a mid-round pick.
But Scadaboo plays Scadaboo's like a Niner.
Tough. He's tough. I'm not mad at Scadaboo.
So, tonight, if you want tackle, okay, if you're a Niner fan, tonight's game, Texas, the kid Banks is a tackle that could be available in the top 15. Cameron and you reference Simmons.
Yep, and Cameron Williams at 6'5", 335. Yeah. So, that's... You're going to be in a prime spot to get some really, really good players. So best available, we'll see. Now, will it be Tyler Warren? I just wouldn't scoff at it. Like, having a two tight end set ain't bad. You're going to run a lot of two tight end sets, or you're going to run, the Niners run 21 personnel.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's rugged. He's not some, like, all I do is catch passes type of player. I don't know. I mean, I just.
Here's a question.
For the last couple of years, it's been hard for me to get fired up for the draft, and I'll tell you why. The team success overrode the draft. But when your team's not good, the draft overrides the end of the season, right? And so now I'm back into draft mode. That was all I had for so many years.
Yeah, the draft. I love the NFL. I love the NFL draft.
I feel
draft,
like these playoffs for the college football is giving me showcases. Yep. It's like I'm watching the Senior Bowl every night.
That's why it's like, how can you hate the college football
playoff? The East-West Shrine Game.
How can you? Like, Caleb Downs, I'm not going to lie to you. I knew about him, but then in the Rose Bowl, where everybody say, oh, the Rose Bowl was boring, goes a blowout. Sometimes blowouts can be fast. Guru was making a great point with the crossover when they're going at it with the college football playoff. And Dib's like, yeah, I'm out on it. And there's been blowouts and this and that. And Guru goes, when did we become so spoiled where every game's got to be a classic? No, you're going to get blowouts. And sometimes blowouts are classic. Oregon getting blown out, who had not lost a game all season long. And they had Dan Lanning, and we do it for wins, not clicks, and all this stuff. And Ohio State goes out there on that beautiful grass in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. And that blowout to me was fascinating because I'm like, Cody Simon, number zero. Damn, he's knocking fools out. Caleb Downs was everywhere. Look, and had it not been for the Rose Bowl and that blowout, I should be playing video games. I should move on from this game. But Caleb Downs is making plays sideline to sideline. When's he come out in the draft? Oh, wait, I got to wait until 2026. You're right. The playoff has showcased numerous talents.
Jeremiah Love, and he's not even ready to be drafted. The running back for Notre Dame with the big knee brace on is clearly hurt, and you're watching him blow through 12 tackles. You're not impressed with that?
I know.
Like,
I know.
That's been awesome. So here's a great one. Like, I'm watching that quarterback, Riley Leonard, and I've told you all year, I don't think he's that great, right? But I do believe he's a running quarterback. He's made some plays, and you see the arm. He throws some odd balls. But anyway, he gets hurt. They go to the backup. The backup was in the bowl game last year and threw for like 250 yards or whatever. And I didn't think he was any good.
Right.
He led a nice little drive, you know? And then Riley comes back. If you didn't have like, wow, okay, Riley Leonard. Now I kind of wonder what ends up happening to him in the draft and in the league. What if he goes out and he beats Texas or Ohio State?
Wow. Still not drafted him because I don't think, but I hear your point. Your point is well taken.
Like
he's tough.
He is a tough player.
He's rugged.
I'm seeing people comparing to Josh Allen. Like, let's pump the brakes.
Yeah, let's chill off.
Let's pump the brakes a little. Allen. But like, if the Niners took him in the sixth round, I don't think I'd be that mad at that. Even though I don't think he's that great, but like he's won me over. I think he's got a lot of heart.
I'm not gonna lie. If the Niners do take a quarterback in his draft and it's in the mid rounds, where's Jackson Dart going?
I don't know what to make of him.
I don't either, but I'm kind of intrigued with him. He's intriguing.
The hype, though, for so many years.
Yeah, it's a lot. It is a lot.
Well, like, so you're going to watch Quinn Ewers tonight, and he's a guy that was hyped up for multiple years, and I just don't see it. Yeah. But I've been, you know, I didn't see it with Purdy. Yep. And then Purdy ended up being an excellent player. Yep. And I do think the one thing that I'm noticing now is that I think position players, it feels like a lot of those guys can declare after 1 year or 2 years. I feel like college, allowing the transfer portal, you get an opportunity for a quarterback to play 4, 5, sometimes even 6 years. Penix played, like, what, 6 years of college football because of the injuries?
Yeah, yep.
You know, Riley Leonard played at multiple schools now. He was at Duke forever. Now he's at Notre Dame. You really get a big body of work from these quarterbacks as they're coming out. Mm-hmm. I think the league benefits from that.
It does benefit from it.
Bo Nix played, what, 5 years of football?
5 years. Yeah, I didn't think he was any good.
5 years?
I didn't think Bo Nix was anything, especially after the Pac-12 championship game. It's like, come on, Bo Nix. And now you look at him in Denver, they have a great system. He got great weapons. Sean Payton's coaching him up, and he's played a lot of football, and he doesn't look afraid in a moment. Like, he starts off slow in these games, too. Yeah, he starts heating up, and he will chuck it deep. That guy will, like, let it fly. I'm like, damn, I didn't know Bo Nix had a deep ball like that. I will say, though, I know everybody's ripping Bo Nix before the season. I got a little soft spot for Bo Nix because he won me a lot of money last year at Oregon.
Wait a minute. One of my Walk It Back Wednesday takes was me reversing course on Sean Payton and Bo Nix, and you guys said it was way too premature.
It was
premature.
And that
was off of a couple preseason games.
That was premature.
Well, you walked back that walk back, too.
Yeah, you did walk back that walk back.
I did.
Context matters.
I walked back the walk back.
Only you would walk back
the walk back. They were 0-3, and you walked it back.
And then they turned the season around.
Is this a safe space? So we were going through the member berries of me being a Notre Dame fan growing up, and my brother was texting about how I made him watch Rudy thousands of times over and over as a kid. Two admissions. I had a champion, Rick Meyer, with no nameplate because they didn't have the names on the back, dark blue Notre Dame jersey, and here's the one that I'm a little embarrassed on. I had a number 7, Carlisle Holiday.
Oh, boy. I thought Carlisle Holiday was going to be good. So that was a moment in time. There was a moment in time where Florida State was, everybody was jumping on the bandwagon and Notre Dame was on TV. That half came. I said, you know what? I rock with the Irish. And then Ty Willingham was there. I was like, let's go, Notre Dame. And I would yell Notre Dame in movie theaters like, really? Notre Dame. Oh, yeah. No doubt. And then they fired my boy Ty Willingham. And they gave all this praise to Charlie Weiss for winning with his team and stuff. And I was like, you know what? This corny stuff. I'm done with this. I'm done with him. Done.
Not to get all holy on you all, but Marcus Freeman brought back going to Mass, you know, as a team, and there's just something to be said about going to church.
Oh, boy. That's how Jesus is there, right?
If you're an Irish Catholic born and raised in San Francisco, you're almost obligated to root for the Notre Dame Irish.
No, you're not.
Montana, baby.
No, you're not.
Come on.
You're not obligated to do it.
Yeah,
you don't
you
have
are.
To root for them. I am rooting for Marcus
Jerome
Freeman, though.
Bettis.
They've had stud. Ricky Waters. Bucks. Yeah, no doubt. Arnaz Battle.
Touchdown, Timmy Brown.
Arnaz Battle. If I close my eyes to this day, I could think about that end around where he was a wide receiver and the Niners beat the Cardinals on Monday Night Football. On the back end of a doubleheader.
And it was
that candlestick. And my boy Mikey C broke the seat.
It was the sloppiest Monday Night Football game ever.
Was that Matt Leiner quarterbacking for Arizona?
I think it was Matt Leiner. It was an ugly game.
Arnaz Battle end around to win the game.
It was terrible.
It was so bad.
So unwatchable. All right. David Frisno on the other side says he feels badly for us already. I wonder why. Why does he feel badly for us? Carter has a smile on his face.
Who cares?
Don't forget one of my favorite 49ers of all time. Bryant Young,
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, baby.
One of my favorite Notre Dame fighting Irish, Ian Williams, who was at the game yesterday at the Orange Bowl.
Dave Casper goes to the post. Hall of Famer.
All right, enough Notre Dame love.
Jack Snell.
All right, I feel like you guys need to get humbled.
JT's dad.
It's going to happen on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Kyren Williams.
Kyren Williams was a baller, though.
He was a baller. Marcus Freeman's getting some players
Don't forget Manti Te'o.
And you know what? You know what Marcus Freeman has proven? That Brian Kelly was the problem the whole time.
Yeah.
Overrated as Brian Kelly. Oh. Good luck, LSU. More coming up. David Frizzell says he felt badly for us. I wonder why. All right, that's coming up, brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport.
He was not a great president.
New year, new adventures. Choose SFO for all your travel plans. With the most nonstop flights from the Bay Area, easy parking, and local leads. Now offering nonstop flights to Belize on United Airlines. Choose SFO, where your best journeys begin. Details at flysfo.com/nonstop.
Rocket Ismael, the Rocket, the Rocket. He was really good. He was really good. And he knew how to stretch. I mean, you don't get that fast by not stretching, right? You got to have speed. Tony Rice, he stretched as well. Jerome Bettis, I don't know how much stretching he did, but I did suggest to Jerome Bettis through a DM, you need to hit up the stretch lab, brother. Hit up the stretch lab. And the bill and the wheels on the bus will go round and round because the stretch lab will take care of you. It's taking care of me. I don't have any aches and pains right now. I'm feeling good. And they customize your stretches. They get into your deep stretches. They know what your body needs when it comes to stretching, whether it's your hips, your knees, your shoulders, your triceps. Stretching is good for everybody. You know what? We all like to relieve stress, right, from our day-to-day life, our 9-to-5s or whatnot. Relieving stress is important, and you can do that at the Stretch Lab. And your posture and balance will certainly improve. Go to StretchLab.com to find out more. That's StretchLab.com/Bay Area. StretchLab.com/Bay Area.
This is Kevon Looney. Welcome back to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Monte.
All right, Loon Dog, coming off the bench yesterday, 8-8. Steve Kerr mentioned that. Hey, every time I take him out of the rotation, then I put him back in, I'm thinking, why did I ever take him out of the rotation? That's Steve Kerr on Looney. And Loon Dog played well yesterday. You know what? Let me get a little Loon Dog.
He showed you that on the team, we already know he's always going to stay ready. You know, he plays extremely hard, plays with a lot of pace. And I mean, personally, he always makes shots. So today was good to see him in the game and do what he do well.
And then Loon Dog, did you need that win or what?
Steph has been shooting lights out, and we've been coming up short. So for us to, you know, him not have the greatest shooting out, but for him to do everything else, yeah, I think he had 10 rebounds, he had a bunch of assists. For us to be able to still win that game and win it in that fashion showed that you know, we can grind these games out and we can win in different ways. And we needed that win. It's a good way to start our road trip.
All right, Loon Dog. Love Loon Dog. One of my favorites, all-time favorites. Love his parents. Love everything about Looney and what he represents, man. All right, let's get to Dave because he says, Shasky, that he feels badly for us already. David Frisno. And he's one of my favorites, too. We go at it a lot. And I love the guy. He's one of those guys, like Mike Francesco, I go home thinking, what the hell is Dave talking about? All right, anyway, Dave.
He was not a great president.
just such a good
Dave.
What's up, Dave?
Why do you feel bad for us?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm sitting here listening to you guys get excited. You know, we got a high pick, all these names. Look at all these names. We could be available to the Niners. But you know, Lynch and Shanahan, when have they ever drafted the best player available?
Nick Bosa.
I mean, outside of Bosa, well, you couldn't screw that up. I mean, you're picking at 2. So, I mean, it was too hard to screw that up. But outside of that, you know, it's always a name when you draft them, you got to go Google him and look at the highlights. You've never heard of them before. And that's one of the things that they got to change with people like, oh, we need to change is the draft philosophy, in my opinion, where they draft scheme over talent more times than not, and to the point of what position they need to draft, to me it doesn't really matter. Whoever they draft, this got to come in with some juice, some instant impact. You look at the Eagles and Lions, their first round picks, Gibbs, Cooper DeJean, you know, they get on the field, they're making plays. Whoever the Niners pick, I don't care what position it is, they need to come in, and it just needs to have some juice, some instant impact. They got to hit on that. I don't care if it's in the first round, second round, whoever it is. They got to come in. They got to play. They can't sit and learn or be in the doghouse. We can't go through that again. So I'm with y'all. All the names sound good, but they got to think outside the box and not think they smarter than everybody and just draft talent don't worry so much about speed.
All right. So I'm still trying to figure out how you feel so badly for us. You think we're going to be set up for disappointment?
Well, I'm saying you guys are saying all these names like, yeah, the tight end makes sense, the edge rusher makes sense, but to these guys, they go against the grain so much they might skip over all that and get some tackle you ain't never heard of from a conference that we ain't never heard of.
Okay, just one second. We all know they missed on Trey Lance. Like, that's obvious, right? Since the Trey Lance draft, which was 2021, they didn't have a first in 2022. All right? Their first pick was the 61st pick. Not many teams are nailing the 61st pick. Then the next year, their first pick was the 87th pick in 2023. A lot of teams aren't nailing the 87th pick. All right? And then this year, their first pick was 31. All right? So the last 3 years, let's have a little bit of perspective and let's say, like, it's hard to have a household name be your first pick when your first picks are 31, 87, and 61. Like, that's, we all know the first couple of players. After that, like, most people are Googling who they're picking. Am I wrong, B, on that?
Wait.
Go ahead,
Dave. Whoa. Cooper DeJean was there, bro. He was projected top 20 pick. He was there when he was picking Ricky. And look at him. That's my point. They don't take best available. That's all I'm saying, Brian. I'm not saying they're chill by draft. I'm just saying they don't always take best available. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you, but you know what? I'll take it this far, though. When you look at guys like Fred Warner, George Kittle, and you see Renardo Gray, you see D'Arbiter Lenore, Dre Greenlaw, Hufanga for a certain period of time, Brock Purdy for whatever, they've nailed picks. So, you know, like the draft, the NFL draft is the ultimate crapshoot. There, every team, every year, there's every fan base out there. I bet you the Raider fan base. I bet you the Charger fan base. I bet you the Ram fan base. Seahawks. Every fan base every single year gets mad about a certain pick. And they're not going to go 7-for-7 or 8-for-8 or 9-for-9.
30% you're lucky. Is elite.
You're lucky to get three players, premium players. And you could whiff on a first-round pick, but what if you nail that fourth-round pick? And that fourth-round pick can become a star. So I'm not going to be doom and gloom about this. I'm open-minded about it. I think Lynch and Shanahan haven't. They played in a lot of high-level games over the last 5 years. They're not going to be the 100 next year.
No.
They're not. They're going to be able to sit back, kind of reassess everything, and I think they're doing that now. And I do believe, and like, you know, I'm not saying, look, I want to be clear. I'm not saying the Niners should select Tyler Warren at number 11. Let me make myself clear, because I know how some of these idiots get down. I'm not saying take the tight end at number 11. If he's the best player available and Lynch and Shanahan wanted to go that route, I would not be mad at it because of the things you could do with Tyler Warren. Now, if they took an edge rusher and it's a young man from Georgia, hell, I wouldn't be mad at that either. I get it. You need another edge rusher. You need a tackle. I'm cool with all that. But if you take the best player available and he happens to be a tight end, so be it. I don't think that's rolling the dice. I think Tyler Warren's going to be a good player in the league.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if he wasn't a good player in the league.
Yeah, but I think that people expect you to do, like, you know, you have to draft four Pro Bowlers right away. That's unrealistic. The greatest draft of all time in Ninerland is usually like 86. Like, that's the one that they'll throw out. There wasn't one in Hall of Famer.
Was it 81? Or go ahead.
Yeah, 81 was a great one when they drafted their full secondary, basically.
Yep.
And they got one Hall of Famer in Ronnie Lott, you know? Yep. But, like, Pittsburgh Steelers were the only team ever to pull this off where they drafted Lynn Swann, Jack Lambert, John Stallworth, and Mike Webster. They got four Hall of Famers. No one's ever doing that again, all right? It's never going to happen again, all right? A good draft is like three or four could-be starters in 2 or 3 years, right? If you're a really, 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 really bad team, you might come out with 4 or 5 starters because your team's not very good. And maybe one of those guys is a Pro Bowler. Like, what they did in 2019, Debo and Nick Bosa, is pretty special. What the Niners did way back when with Joe Staley and Patrick Willis is pretty special. Pretty special.
Yep.
You know? And so, like, it's just, it's hard. The draft is really hard, dude. Really hard. 35%, if you hit, I'm talking about hit, like, those guys are players. That's really good.
Now, I'm looking at just, we could go through this again because we'll do it all offseason. But just look at this last draft. And David Frizzell's like, man, Cooper DeJean was out there to get it. Cooper DeJean is great. I think he's going to be a stud. He's a hell of a player.
Their secondary is that bad, though, the Niners. I didn't know.
I didn't think it was that bad either.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, they were good.
But you know what? Considering what Ricky Pearsall was, coming up with 400 yards receiving, I thought he played well down the stretch. And I said, you know what? You may have a player there. The guy got hurt in training camp. Now, you hope he can stay healthy. And then the unfortunate incident a couple blocks down from where we're at right now, getting shot.
set him back. Renardo Green, you took him 64 overall. How's everybody feeling about him?
I feel really good. I feel like you have a starter.
Dominic Pooty, 86 overall.
Yeah, that's a lock starter. He was one of the few rookies in 49er history to take every snap on a line. That's pretty impressive.
Malik Mustafa, you took him 124 overall.
I have concerns on longevity and staying healthy, but I like the player a lot.
All right. Isaac Grindo.
I think he's a backup, but I really like him.
Situational football player, but could contribute, right?
Yeah, year one, I thought that he was much better than I anticipated.
I didn't expect him to play much in year one.
Me neither.
All right, Jacob Cowing.
You got a returner, at minimum. I think he can do more, but you got a returner.
Jerry Kingston, O-lineman. Yeah. Didn't see much of him, whatever. You're going to whiff. It's a sick round pick.
Yeah.
And then you get taken to Bethune in the seventh round pick. Well, I think maybe we're the only guys maybe a little optimistic about that.
He played special teams for them late in the year. I like him.
I think he could play. All right, the year before, you take Jair Brown, who started the Super Bowl. Now I've kind of soured on him, but he was a third-round pick, 87 overall.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to focus on Jake Moody, 99 overall. And
not great.
I get it. Not great. Not great. Cameron Latu.
Not good.
Not good. So you went. Darrell Luter.
Not good.
Robert Beal. D. Winters. Brady Willis on another team. Roddy Bell. Jalen Graham. So the 2023 draft, it was a big miss for the most part.
100%.
So... 650 saying, we didn't understand the last caller. We were tired of prospects. We need to go ready to go play football tomorrow. Yeah, we all want that.
But Dominic Pooney was literally plug and play.
Right.
Renardo Green was as close to plug and play in the secondary. When was the last time the Niners took a corner and that guy played and was good as
right
a rookie?
Away.
Shontae Spencer?
Been a long time.
I mean, I'm going way back.
My man Plumber?
Was Plummer before or after Spencer? I know they played together.
He was Ohio State. Yeah, he was before, I think.
Okay, but before. Like you get where I'm going. Like they never do well with these rookie corners.
So
maybe Terrell Brown.
Right. So for all the people who say Bonte, you're an idiot if you want the Niners to take a tight end. Number one, I don't want them to take it. I don't care if they take a tight end or not. I want the best player available. But if your premise is we want a guy to play right away. Is Tyler Ward ready to play right away?
He looks like he could contribute.
Is he ready to play right away?
I think he helps your red zone.
He helps your red zone because he can high point the football. Yeah. He's 6'6". He blocks his ass off. He's fit. He's a mauler. Are you kidding me? He's ready to play. He's ready to play right now.
Yeah.
Sometimes you may take a... The Raiders took an edge rusher from Texas Tech a couple years ago. Tyree Wilson's his name?
Stinks.
They took him in the top 10 overall.
I mean...
Because they needed an edge rusher.
Solomon Thomas.
You needed a D lineman, Solomon Thomas.
To this day, I remember coming out of that game, that North Carolina bowl game with Stanford and North Carolina, and I said, there's two players I'm not touching with a 10-foot pole. One, and I like Solomon Thomas. I like Solomon Thomas, and it's Mitch Trubisky. I'm not touching those two.
Oh, my gosh.
And they went back-to-back, and I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe Trubisky went ahead.
I still can't
Mahomes,
believe it.
I was questionable why, because a lot of people liked him, and a lot of people started moving
Mike
up
Williams.
For him. But it was
I'm
Mike
dead
Williams.
Serious,
I don't mind you.
My boy Della, I said I will draft the entire Clemson offense.
I was all about it. I also wanted Deshaun Watson.
No, that's part of the Clemson offense.
Right, and Trubisky and Solomon Thomas, I was like, damn, really? Trubisky would have had all those guys.
That's unreal.
Let's go to Joe at Elk Grove. Joe, what's happening? You're on the road.
He was so bad.
So bad. He's still in the league.
I know.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Joe?
You got me?
I got you.
Hey, you know, listening to Lynch and Shanahan's press conference and Brock Purdy's our guy, don't you think we need to protect our investment?
Absolutely.
We need to plug and play offensive tackle.
I agree.
You know, we can't go into next season relying on Trent and Colton Kivitz. That can't happen. So, my opinion, it has to be offensive line, defensive or edge rusher. That's what we have to do. We can't let Brock get pressure.
The other thing I would say to you is that there aren't a lot of pass rushers in free agency. There's going to be a lot of offensive linemen out
free
there.
Agency.
See, I think free agency is where they could kind of shore up the middle. And I don't know about tackle per se, because I think you draft a tackle. But I think you can get a guard, Zach Martin. I mean, even Cam Robinson is out there. He's a tackle. Maybe they bring him in, James Daniels.
We'll watch Cam Robinson on Monday Night Football for the Vikings.
I think I think you could spend, you let Aaron Banks go and you bring in some other guys.
You know, nobody is saying, I don't think we're saying, I want to make ourselves clear.
No, we know they have to protect
Burton. Number one need, Chaska asked me the other day, what's the number one need? Trenches. You guess what, Dave? The Rams has got two starters on their defensive line in the second and third round. Fisk and Verse.
Yeah.
That happened in the second and third round. You can get good. The draft is not just the first round. It's not just about the first 31 players. So what we're trying to explain here. So if you can draft linemen in the middle rounds and get some Dominic Pooney's a third round pick. We just explained this. You got a starting right guard for the next 5 years.
I had never heard of him until the Niners drafted him.
Never heard of him.
Kansas football.
Did not watch a snap of Jayhawk football. The only time I watched Kansas was this past year against Colorado. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Did not know anything about Pooney. So we're not saying ignore offensive line play. No. We're not saying that at all. You have 10 draft picks.
Yeah.
You have free agency.
See, this is where I go back to the Debo question, which you were asking the other day. It's like, do you want him back? It's like, I do want him back. Like right now, I do want him back. But in the right deal, you know, getting some draft capital back, you save a little money. And if I think I can get a guy in free agency, and let's say the difference is $5 million, and I could save $5 million by moving Debo. And see, like, that's where I could see the swap of moving off Debo. You get a little cap relief, which gives you a little more ammunition to sign an offensive lineman. You get a pick back. You can offset some of your other needs. See,
yeah,
I think I want Debo back, but I'm also not closing the door on fielding calls.
I'm also not closing the door trading down to the draft.
Yeah.
Because I think you can get multiple players in this draft. Is the value, and we're going to learn a lot about the draft combine and the prospects coming into the draft in the coming months, but if you trade down, is the player at number 11 that gets taken as an edge rusher, is he that much better than the edge rusher that may get selected at 20 or 25? We don't know.
No clue.
This is why you get pay scouts. This is why John Lynch gets paid the big bucks. And
TJ Watt fell in the draft.
Sure did.
I didn't know he was going to be this good.
I had no idea he was going to be this good.
I mean, because you look at it now, you're like, how did he not go 1, 2, or 3 overall? Right?
Yep.
Micah Parsons, the year that he went out. I wonder what Dallas is going to do with him. They'll never trade with us like that big of a deal.
No doubt.
God, I just wonder what they would do with him.
Wow.
Myles Garrett.
Wow. What's a studs? This Micah Parsons is a stud.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
Myles Garrett's a stud.
He's the kind of edge rusher that I think you need opposite.
But I will say this about the edge rusher conversation. Now that we're discussing about this, how disappointing is it that John Lynch had to go out and trade for multiple DNs last season? Drake Jackson could not play. And we're talking about getting another edge rusher because Bosa needs help. Because Bosa
hasn't been
the dominant player. When Baldy came out the other day and said he's not these guys. He's not dominating backup tackles. The fact that we're still thinking about getting an opposite edge rusher, to me, is pretty disappointing when it comes to Nick Bosa.
Oh, there's not a question. But I think it also speaks to, dear Jesus, we need another defensive coordinator to scheme some things up.
Yes.
I mean, like, am I wrong?
Yep. By the way, I don't know if you guys just saw this here. Deshaun Watson. You want to talk about a guy who was headed to the Hall of Fame and then the situation happened in Houston? Well, Deshaun Watson ruptured his Achilles again.
What?
Further testing showed, and he had another surgery on Thursday to repair it. Less than 3 months after the original tear, it happened again. Watson faces a longer road back, and now he could miss all of 2025.
His career's over. I mean, it's over.
Yeah, I think it is.
Wow, that's, I mean.
You talk about, is probably the worst trade in NFL history.
It's the worst contract
in NFL. The worst contract, trade, whatever you want to say, in history.
Can you think of any sport where a trade or a contract could be even worse? Because everyone's going to point to the Herschel Walker trade.
Yep.
And that was good. But, like, this is the...
We're going to point to Trey Lance trade. No, this is the worst trade.
Trey Lance,
yeah, right.
But you didn't give him $200 million.
Right. This is probably the worst trade in NFL history. And the worst contract.
I'm going to pull the trade up.
And he got... What did he get? $230 million guaranteed. Yeah. Guaranteed.
Shout out Charles Barkley. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
And they have the number 2 overall pick in this upcoming draft. You have to think it's going to be either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland.
They're back in the quarterback market, which means that a safety corner, lineman, edge rusher, tight end, running back, whatever it is, will now drop in the draft.
Let me read you the Wikipedia. This is story time with Shasky. The Cleveland Browns made the decision to move on from their previous quarterback, Baker Mayfield, following the 2021 season due to his poor performance while suffering from a shoulder injury. Insider reports of the Browns indicated Mayfield was considered too immature to be a team leader, leading him to be traded away to Carolina, with insider reports stating that the Browns leadership wanted an adult at the position. And that's what led to the Deshaun Watson trade. That is just...
He's played in 19 games since joining the Browns in 2022. 19 games.
Here, okay.
Since joining the Browns in 2022.
Here's the trade. Cleveland's first-round pick, which was 13th overall in 2022. Mm-hmm. Cleveland's fourth-round pick, which was 104 in 2022. The 12th overall pick in 2023. The 73rd overall pick in 2023. And the first-round pick in 2024, which ended up being 23rd overall.
So you said...
And a fourth-round pick.
So you said, what, 2022?
So they had... A first rounder in 2022, mm-hmm. first rounder in 2023, a first rounder in 2024, and let's throw in a fourth rounder, a third rounder, and a fourth rounder. So three first round picks, two thirds, and a fourth. That's insane.
Spadoni, I need you and Carter to look up what the Texans have done with those picks, because I think they flipped some with the Cardinals.
I'm looking at it right here.
But they flipped picks with the Cardinals.
Yeah. So. Ooh. Wow. Okay. The 13th overall pick was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. Mm-hmm. 15th overall. And then. I mean, there's just so many moves. They got Damian Pierce. They got Will Anderson out of the deal. They got Tank Dell out of the deal.
Stephon Diggs by flipping one of them.
Yeah. Mm. Stephon Diggs. They got a tight end, Caden Stover. I mean, wow, they've done a lot with it. Wow. Jeez Louise.
Wow. Wow. Now the Browns are back in the quarterback market. And you know Deion Sanders has said, no, 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 Shador ain't going there.
It's insane.
Wow.
They basically got their edge rusher for the future.
So.
And, by the way, star quarterback in the same top 10 draft.
Wow. Unbelievable. So what is Cleveland going to do? Their cap is in shambles.
That's why it's in shambles. That Myles Garrett would be traded.
Yeah, I think he would be traded. So. Would Niner fans be willing to trade 11 and another pick for Myles Garrett?
Are you sure it starts with a first rounder?
It may not. I wouldn't start with a first rounder. Negotiations, it's low ball.
I'd love to give them, like, here's 3 2s. I don't think that sounds stupid. I don't think they would take that.
You never know. It's clear.
I would take Myles Garrett in a heartbeat.
Oh, are you kidding me? Him and Bosa? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Remember when we were having conversations about Bosa being paired in Myles Garrett.
Yeah, that was wrong.
No. It's just disappointing how Bosa, we're talking about another edge rusher, but it's going to be fascinating to see what Cleveland does here in the upcoming draft. Let's go to Bob in the city. Bob, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, so I was just thinking one of the worst trades was getting rid of Charles Haley and sending him to the Dallas. Yeah. That probably directly cost you 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so outside of that, I believe in Walsh's old theory was to, unless there was absolutely a stud that is like Jerry Rice, you trade up or trade down, You trade your draft picks, especially with this regime who makes all these great picks in the middle rounds. Why are they wasting that capital on number ones? I just don't understand it. So, what do you guys think?
I like a trade down. Again,
I don't mind it.
What really jump-started Detroit, obviously the trade with Stafford and Goff, they traded down from 6, got Jahmyr Gibbs at 12, got the extra second-round pick, and got LaPorta.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great trade.
Yeah.
And they got the guy they wanted to take at 6 in Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yep.
And everyone said they were crazy for taking a running back.
They sure were. But, by the way, can we all acknowledge a couple years later, running backs do matter in the NFL. Saquon Barkley single-handedly changed the Philadelphia Eagles.
The reason why I know you don't, but I like Green Bay, is strictly because of Josh Jacobs. And I think Jordan Love's going to make a mistake.
Right.
I think he's going to make a play. I like Green Bay in that game. I know no one else does.
I hope Green Bay wins.
I'm praying for Green Bay.
I'm rooting for Green Bay.
If 42-year-old me was having a conversation with 18-year-old me about praying that Green Bay wins, I would be like, what is wrong with you?
But Philadelphia and their fan base, I'm not going to feed me today about them. I'll just let them live. But running backs, to my point, they do matter. James Cook. Who's the backup? Ty Chandler, I want to say. Is that the backup in Buffalo? And then, of course, our boy Ray Davis.
Yes.
They're balling in Buffalo. King Henry. Baltimore. Again, running backs matter. By the way, Gibbs in Detroit.
Oh. Would you trade Purdy for Miles?
Miles Garrett?
Just hypotheticals.
I need to know what my quarterback's going to be.
Yeah, I know.
I need to know who the quarterback
is. I love how offended people get when you suggest these things. Other people that are very credible, that have insider knowledge, whether it's Schefter or Ian Rapoport, they're the ones who have put it out there that Miles Garrett has the consideration of them trading him because they can get more back, because they're in a complete rebuild, is out there.
If you even consider anything with Purdy, and I've learned this, trust me. But I think it was a video we clipped.
If you're asking me, would I trade Miles Garrett for Purdy?
Yeah, I knew you would do it.
Yes.
But I was sitting here, I was looking at I got home, and an old video popped up because the algorithms are all jacked up. And it was you and I talking about Brock Purdy. So I went down to comment rabbit hole. This is why I probably couldn't sleep since.
Okay.
Bonte is Purdy's number one hater. This guy, and I'm looking at the comments, I'm like, damn, get this guy off the radio. I hate him. He sucked, like, everything, because I was critical of a Purdy player, Purdy game, whatever it was. And now I'm thinking about right now, and my boy KC in San Jose, you're like Purdy's agent. You don't never criticize Purdy. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, people, like, it's just unbelievable if you should just making the football team better. I thought it was about the 49ers, not the player.
Well, it's about all these things. If you say something that I don't agree with, you're an idiot. I don't know if you know that. See, in my household, we would argue and have sports conversations, and you would hopefully grow from the conversation. And if somebody had an opinion that differed from yours, yes, Joe.
Real quick, well, no, I want you to finish that. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Are you talking about the all-pro teams?
Correct. Yes, I have. Do you have the list, Bonta?
I do have the list. Well, then, go ahead, Spinotti, get some run.
Well, no, I wanted to play a game, but if you already saw it, so I don't want to
play the game.
No,
here it is. Give me the game. What's the question?
Okay, well, there is one. On the first team all-pro, there is one San Francisco 49er on the first team, Joe Shasky. Can you guess who that player is?
I swear to God, if it's Kyle Juszczyk, my head's going to explode.
It is not Kyle Juszczyk.
It should be Kittle.
It is not George Kittle.
Nope.
Who is it?
You give up?
It's not Fred Warner.
Yes, it is. It is Fred Warner, first team all pro selection.
I love Fred. I don't think that's like when you get a gold glove when you shouldn't.
Yep.
I love Fred. I love, but can we be real?
But the two you mentioned, by the way, are second team all pro in Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle.
Okay. Yeah. I just figured because there's so few fullbacks, you know.
For sure.
Ooh, fullback in Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Patrick Ricard.
He's legit.
I like him.
He's a baller.
And then Brock Bowers got first team all pro.
Now, can you guess who the first team quarterback is? All pro first team quarterback.
Lamar Jackson.
Yep. Josh Allen, number two.
And they went running back, had to be Saquon, correct?
Oh, yeah. Saquon, wow. This is an upset. Only one running back on the all-pro team, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry May, second team. Wide receivers, Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Justin Jefferson.
God, Jamar Chase's season was incredible.
It's incredible.
It was like a video game season.
Would you trade Brock Purdy for him?
Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? You know the answer. Why do you ask questions of my wife? Why do you ask questions you know the answer to?
It's like when I asked Stardy. I asked Stardy. Stardy, you're a Star Wars fan? He looked up slowly and said, what do you think?
Like, yeah, Stardy enjoy things in life? Not alcohol and golf related?
Oh, man.
Not a chance.
Stardy, you're more like me than you think you are.
Dude.
You know, Penei Sewell. Quinn Miners? Never heard of him. Tristan Wirfs, Joe Thuney, Creed Humphrey.
Tristan Wirfs, the guy you could have took instead of Kinlaw.
Trey Hendrickson, Myles Garrett, second team edge rushers, or first team edge rushers, excuse me. First team edge rushers, Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson, Cam Hayward,
you know,
Chris
funny.
Jones in the middle, Derek like, Stingley. Hold on. Let's,
yeah, keep no going. Tabor Pepper, Jake Moody, by the way. I was looking.
No yeah, way.
No Tabor Pepper. Wow. Marvin Moody, Mims Jr.
First team
all. Marvin Mims Jr., punt right. return. First team all pro punt returner. Let's see here. Second team, Josh Allen, Derek Henry, Juszczyk Kittle, Terry McLaurin, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Mailata from the Philadelphia Eagles, Quentin Nelson, Frank Ragnow from the Lions, Chris Lindstrom, right guard for the Falcons, Lane Johnson, right tackle, defense, second team all defense, edge rusher, wow, T.J. Watt didn't make first team, Nick Benito from the Denver Broncos, Andrew Van Ginkle is an edge rusher.
Van Ginkle was sick this year.
He was very legit. He's legit. Jalen Carter. Bobby Wagner made second team all pro. Zaire Franklin, Frankie Louvu, I believe that's from the Commanders. And Derwin James, slot corner. I got him as a slot corner. Derwin James, Christian Gonzalez, Trent McDuffie, Kyle Hamilton, Buda Baker.
You know, it's interesting to me that, like, if you look at sports, like, the ruthless runners of teams win, and they win big. Bill Walsh, we just love throwing out, I'd rather get rid of a year early than a year late. We love praising Bill Walsh. And Bill Walsh fretted over trading Joe Montana so that he could move up to go get John Elway. He was always trying to find the next great guy, okay? And some of the great Belichick teams, like he moved Richard Seymour. He moved Ty Law. He moved Lawyer Malloy. Like he had no problem moving off people. Randy Moss, the second he was done with him. And yet I suggest, like, yeah, certain trades I would do, and people just, like, they just can't fathom it. And I'm like, look, man, if you want to win, and you want to win big, you got to swing big, and you got to be bold, and you got to be decisive. You want to fall in love, not fall in life.
Andy Reid has done it.
Huh?
Traded Tyreek Hill in his prime.
Yeah, that was as savage a move as you could do.
And I remember we were in a green room, and everybody's like, oh, my God, the Chiefs are done. And I think you and I looked at each other and was like, Andy Reid will figure it out.
He'll be fine.
He finds playmakers.
Yeah.
He's going to be okay.
Yeah, 100%.